Good morning. Good morning. We're joined by Lenny Mills Jr. and now former Sheriff of Bristol County, Tom Hodgson. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Lenny. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Hold on. Try that.
Yeah. Good morning, Sheriff. Nice to see
you. Good to see you, Lenny, as always.
Tom, you had an evening with Charlie Baker last night.
Yeah.
The former governor of Massachusetts, Republican, now the head of the NCAA.
Yeah, and he.
How is he?
He's doing great. He's working hard. He's I think he's in the state 2 days a week, and the rest of the time he's, you know, out doing work at where his office is located. But it was great to see him. He looked good. He was on his game as usual. But it was the Lincoln-Reagan dinner awards last night, and it was great to see him and a number of other people there. It was good.
What do you think? You're, of course, with Mike Minogue. You've been with him since last summer after you and Jimmy DeMello had a meeting with him. He came to me and said, this guy's like nobody else we've ever seen before. You brought a lot of people over to Mike Minogue. What do you think of the Keneally endorsement? Mike Keneally, of course, who worked for Charlie Baker and ran for governor, didn't make it, and is now endorsing Mike Minogue instead of Brian Shortsley. What do you think of that?
Well, Mike was there last night, Mike Keneally, and I approached him and told him, I said, Mike, you know, I've always thought you were a class act when you're running for, and he came to the Dartmouth meeting and spoke, and I've always thought a lot of him.
We had lunch with him.
Yeah, guy of integrity. He's somebody that really wanted to serve and make a difference in Massachusetts, and he understood that it wasn't his turn. But I think the important thing about his, which I told him, I said, you showed real leadership, stepping up, and publicly endorsing now Mike Minogue. As he said in the Herald today, that Mike Minogue is obviously going to be the nominee that's going to move Massachusetts forward. He's the best person to be the governor. That's directly from Mike Keneally. And Mike's been around government, as you know, for quite a while under the Baker administration. And so he knows what it's like in administering the state government. And I was so happy that he was there. He did, I think, what didn't have to, but he chose to, in the interests of unity and moving our candidates forward. And I think to win Massachusetts, to finally give the people of this state real leadership in Mike Minogue to be able to reclaim, you know, a safer, more prosperous Commonwealth.
One of the things he says in his statement, Mike Keneally, but he said it here on my program as well, and I would assume, excuse me, he said it all over the place, is that no matter how the nomination turned out, he said, I want to be the nominee, but if I'm not, this was early in the race, he said it, I will support whoever the nominee is. And he went on to say in this statement, when he gave it in Burlington, that Mike Minogue will be our party's nominee, so today I'm announcing I support his candidacy. I believe Mike Minogue is running for the office because of a genuine calling to serve. How much of a blow, because he had one way to go or another way to go. He could have gone with Shortsley. He went with Minogue. How much of a blow is this to Brian Shortsleeve? Obviously, you're supporting Mike Minogue, but you've been in politics a long time, you and Lenny. You guys can both make outside analysis of it, as I can as well. I think it's a tremendous blow to Brian Shortsleeve. Well, let me say this. It would have been a tremendous feather in Brian Shortsleeve's cap if Keneally had endorsed him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And look, I like Brian Shortsleeve. I know Brian was a supporter of mine years ago, and I told Brian early on, I said, yeah. Brian, look, I'm going with Mike Minogue. I've talked with him. I've met with him, and I believe he's a one in a lifetime almost candidate to be governor, given his background and his personal convictions and things that he really wants to do to help people. He's done it all his life. That's right. What he's been about from his military service on. So I do think that this obviously wasn't helpful to Shortsleeve and definitely a big. I think people look at that. The Keneally people will look at it and say, yeah, you know what? We got behind Mike because he's a man of integrity. We like him. And he's made a decision to do that. And we'll probably follow right along with him and make sure that Mike Minogue's elected next governor.
It is a, you know, it's a series of steps and everybody, little hurdles along the way, right? Sure. And when Keneally dropped out after not doing well at the convention, you knew that he had a significant card to play. And he only had two choices. And again, like I say, I don't think it's going to slow Brian Schuetzlieff down. He just put $600,000 into the race. But it certainly, had he gotten the endorsement, it would have been a big deal. And the fact that Minogue got it almost seems like anticlimactic, because everybody really is kind of recognizing maybe that Minogue is the guy who has the resources to go all the way to take on Healey in what is a purple state. Lenny?
Yeah, that's a big endorsement, like the sheriff's saying. And I wonder, Sheriff, do you think that we'll see Keneally going forward now, maybe doing some work with Mike Minogue? Do you think he'll do some appearances? You think he'll...
I mean, he was there last night.
Yeah.
And obviously he supports him, so I would imagine he likely will be.
Sure.
Because he wants to make sure that Mar Healey is not going to continue to destroy the Commonwealth as governor. So, yeah, I think he'll be out there, of course, and do what he can. He was at Mike's headquarters 2 days ago to offer his endorsement. Or maybe, I think it was 2 days ago or yesterday maybe even. I can't remember. But so, and that's the thing about Mike Keneally. What you see is what you get. He's a very honorable person and a man of integrity, and he believes that this is the right decision, and he stood up for it, and he wasn't going to let politics play a part in it. He wanted to do what was right, what he said he would do early on, as Chris pointed out.
I'm reading from Tim Dunn's story on the election in the Boston Herald. You can check it out at bostonherald.com. Brian Schuetzlieff has a pretty jagged statement. Mm-hmm. He says, Mike Keneally's endorsement is nothing more than, quote, tactical. Failed candidate Mike Keneally is playing for 2030. He knows Mike Minogue cannot win a general election. After all, excuse me, he spent the year, excuse me, I don't know what's going on, all that bacon I ate.
Yeah.
So he spent the past year telling everyone exactly that. So this is Brian Schuetzlieff saying about Mike Keneally, that he told everybody Minogue couldn't win the general election. He knows Brian Schuetzlieff can win the general election. Schuetzlieff campaign spokesman Pat Naster said in a written statement, Keneally made the calculated decision to endorse Mike Minogue because he believes that if Brian Schuetzlieff advances to the general election, he will win. And if Brian wins, Michael knows he'll never be governor, said the campaign.
Yeah, well, you know, that's sort of a consistent pattern that seems to have been coming out from the Schuetzlieff campaign. It's an attack kind of approach to things. And oftentimes, I think when people aren't doing as well as they perhaps might say publicly, they sometimes resort to these kinds of things. And frankly, and again, I like Brian Schuetzlieff, but I think the truth of the matter is he's for them to come out and make a statement that the motivation behind Keneally was that he's doing it because he wants to run. If Schuetzlieff wins, he'll never be able to be governor.
Right.
Is nonsense. It's a stretch. It's a far reach. But when you don't notice Mike Minogue doing those kinds of things. He's focused on, I'm representing the everybody in Massachusetts. I'm focused on affordability, accountability, opportunities, and keeping the community safe. Very simple message, but very important message to the average person. And so there's a difference between somebody who's running for an office like this, who's very focused on the people that they're going to serve, versus these political side swipes and things that are going on that aren't really focused on the issues. And I think that's where we're at.
508-996-0500. I can get on the air. We have Tom Hodgson here. We have Lenny Mills here. I'm Chris McCarthy. I'll be here as well. Who else would run the board? Exactly. They need me. Yeah, they need me to run the board and carry the conversation. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500. You need some
company. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's a beautiful Friday. Still morning. Almost afternoon. You know, for 50 years, Bass Ready Rooter has been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance all across New Bedford, Fall River, Dartmouth, Freetown, certainly Fairhaven. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections, their expert team delivers solutions the right way with honesty and respect. Write this number down, because when you get a sewer or a drain clog, the stress starts mounting. You're looking for solutions. You need a company like Bass Ready. They're just a phone call away. Write this down. 508-995-8012. We can go right to their website, bassready.com. Family owned since 1974. They may not be your first call, but they'll always be your last call. 508-996-0500. We, of course, got Lenny Mills Jr. here, Tom Hodgson here. Tom, there was a poll that just recently came out from Suffolk University on likely, these are all registered voters, the poll is 50% Republican, 50% unenrolled. That's not a general election poll, that's a primary election poll. And uniquely, and I found this really stuck out at me, that most of the sample came from southeastern Mass and Cape Cod, Bristol County, Plymouth County, Barnstable County. Less than 5% of the poll came out of the capital city, Boston, and the surrounding area. What does that tell us about the Republican Party electorate here in Massachusetts?
Well, it tells us they sure as hell didn't want to live in Boston. Right. They needed to get the heck out of there and come down our way, because they've seen what's been going on. But I think it speaks... It speaks to the people here who I think our communities down here are a little more more intimate than you would see in the suburbs of Boston.
Sure.
So people, you know, have a stronger sense of family, stronger sense of neighborhood, and maybe decided that they wanted to get more involved on a level where they could have people in office that are going to do what matters to them and their families, and not be influenced by the big city, sort of.
There's one other factor, and I you're so gracious because you avoid it, because you're not going to like when I say it. Well, you'll like it, but you won't want me to say it. But, Tom, I think in part it shows the tremendous influence that you have had in the state of Massachusetts, that when they're doing Republican polling, they're polling this part of the state, because so many people, out of a knowledge of the great things you did for Bristol County and the whole state, have switched over to the Republican Party and are more apt to vote in the Republican primary. You've made it okay for Democrats, former Democrats, to now participate in the Republican Party primary, which is what this poll was focused on.
Well, you're kind to say it, but I will say it's not. It really had more to do with the people here that being in for 25 years. Or 25 and a half years as a Republican in the biggest Democrat enclave in Massachusetts may have given, because when I came here, what I noticed was that it seemed like people had this mindset that
brainwashed.
You can't, and they kept believing and repeating even to themselves within the party that, you know, if you're a Republican, you can't win in Massachusetts. It's too heavily Democrat, and yada, yada, yada. People, and I remember Paul Walsh's father told me that. Yes. He was like, you can't win as a Republican. I said, well, if you tell me I can't, that I have to misrepresent what I really believe in and what's right.
Right.
They're not going to like me when I get in, and I'm not going to like me either. So I'm running as a Republican. And I think over time, just because I was blessed to have so many people, Lenny, and so many other people that were there for me,
right,
and allowed me to continue to serve, that when somebody saw that somebody could be in there, and we had formidable candidates, Quinn and others,
sure,
who were up against McIntyre, they're up against us, that we were still able to win, that I guess it because I was fortunate to have the people around me to do that. My wife, of course, as well. But to be able to do that, ultimately, people saw, wait a minute, maybe I can win as a Republican.
Right.
Right? And it wasn't really about me. You know, I just happened to be the person that was serving. But it was really about, you know, having people continue to allow me to serve.
Right.
And then really realizing, wait a minute, that mindset can change.
Yes.
And I always, even the very beginning, I'd go to a Republican meeting, people would be going, hey, there might be 10 people there. I guess the whole party from Massachusetts is coming to this meeting, right? We could right. fit in a phone booth. They used to joke like that.
Sure.
But what they weren't realizing was they kept reinforcing this idea
right.
that as a Republican, you can't win. And so they didn't think that people really believed what they did. And sure enough, I think over time, they started to understand that, yeah, you can.
Lenny, what do you think of this poll and the fact that they're polling your part of the world, southeastern Massachusetts?
Yeah,
you've got a strong Republican Party out in Rehoboth.
Yeah, we have a strong Republican Party, but I have to disagree with the sheriff. I agree with you. He's okay. a large part of that.
Yes.
And I can tell you why. When I was young and starting out and in Rehoboth, I didn't know the sheriff.
Right.
I knew of the sheriff,
right.
you know? And I'd see him come in our town and go in different towns and stuff like that. And he was inspirational to me
yes.
and a lot of people.
A lot
you know?
Of people.
And because he was the lone wolf.
Right.
You know? And we're saying, you know, I'll be honest, you know, I'm a competitor, so I'm gonna see how this guy's going to make out more and more as time goes on. Is he going to be in and out of office or what's going to happen? But no, he's been our leader. He's done a great job.
Yes.
He's inspired a lot of people. And I'm here to tell you he's inspired me
yes.
to a great level. And so we're grateful for that. And I know he's very humble and he's not comfortable with saying
right.
this, but I agree with you that, and I hate to disagree with the sheriff because he's been a dear friend of mine a long time.
Yeah.
But on this one issue, I do.
You guys are both very kind.
Listen, when the president of the United States, before he was the president, when he was just a real estate developer,
yep.
just a billionaire and a TV star, was looking for a chairman in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
he had a lot of other options. And then when he was looking for re-election, he had a lot of other options. He selected Tom Hodgson.
Yeah, it speaks to the credit, right. his history, and he's like, we are where we are today because of Sheriff Tom Hodgson.
Yes.
It's 100%.
Well, yeah. we agree to disagree, but that's okay. But thank you both for your
yeah.
time.
And by the way, you know, in Rehoboth, I have a lot of Democratic support.
Yes.
A lot.
And so does Tom.
And what my point I'm leading to is, Chris, is that he's inspired that. I've
right.
watched and studied, you know, and like he just said 5 minutes ago, that's why I'm picking up on it.
Yeah,
he's taught that, you know, so.
508-996-0500. We got some people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're
so I had two questions about the governor's race, but before I ask him, I just want to say, my wife and I have supported Tom since he was a city councilor.
Yep.
We continued to support him throughout his career. And Lenny Mills Jr. is my new political hero. his common sense and his temperament are just a recipe for success in the political world, which probably speaks to why he's been so successful. So I just want to say I enjoy listening to both. It's a great Friday chat.
Thank you.
Thank you for your kind words. Thank you very much for your kind words.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being on the air. The questions I have is, when was the last time that Massachusetts Republicans had such a great opportunity with two great choices for governor? And at what point will... I don't know if it's probably short sleeve. At what point will Brian Short Sleeve step aside, do you think, and endorse Mike Minogue for governor if it goes that way?
Well, I don't know, but
yeah.
Tom,
no, I don't know either. And my guess is he may not. So far, there's no indications that he will, and they've been kind
but
of.
But isn't it for the greater good if. You know, to get one candidate, get everybody behind one candidate at some point.
There's no question that that's the case, and you have been around politics yourself for a very long time and very astute. I think you're absolutely right. I think at this point we don't have much time left, but it would be a great what a boost it would be, and I think a great, much like Mike Keneally did, I think a great statement about Brian Short Sleeve that, hey, look, I realize that this is not my time. And I want to do everything I can to make sure ultimately the Republican Party wins. Because it's always got to, it can never be about us. It's always got to be about the greater good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks so
much. We do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. In this poll from Suffolk University that relies primarily on voters in our part of the world, they asked the question, because Brian Shortsley and his campaign are making a big deal about the fact that Mike Minogue is pro-life. And they asked the voters, 50% Republican, 50% unenrolled, if how they feel about abortion, and then if that makes a difference for whether they would support. In other words, Mike Minogue is pro-life, Brian Shortsley is pro-abortion rights. Does that impact how you're going to vote? And overwhelmingly, they say no.
Right.
So I do think that although he just put $600,000 into the race, and listen, it's good for my business if Brian Shortsley stays as long as he can, quite frankly. And that's how I have to look at the world. But if the abortion angle isn't going to work for Brian Shortsley, does he continue to try to kamikaze Mike Minogue on this issue?
Well, he can.
He can, right?
He can, but I think, you know, with the poll, as you and I heard that earlier today in the conversation I had, that they polled women on this very vote, mm-hmm. This very question, and they said it didn't matter to them, and I think while it's a sensitive issue for people, I think the reality is the overwhelming problems that are going on right now. The average person saying, mm-hmm. you know, I want to be able to put food on my table. I don't want my kids to leave Massachusetts.
Right.
I want safe communities. I don't want, you know, the problems that we're having to continue. And I think those are the overriding issues. So, again, we talked earlier, when candidates start attacking another candidate, particularly from the same party, the way that this is going on, given the disparity in numbers of percentages for support, I think it's a good time for Brian to show some leadership, step up and let people know, hey, listen, I'm a unifier of this party, and mm-hmm. and perhaps there'll be a future for him down the road as well, where he might want to pursue something. But it's clearly time, and I don't think it's going to work.
I think also too there's a component to it that the constituents in the Commonwealth are listening to. They're seeing two contrasts in styles mm-hmm. between Mike and short sleeve. And like the sheriff points out, it's a very good point. Mike is a leader not to go down the negative road at all. He's not going to do that.
Right.
And Brian Shortsleeve has a different, a different style, and you just read part of his style a few minutes into the record. And so, you know, a little bit of time of seeing that also helps solidify the people, you know, where they want to go with it. And I think people, from my experience, and this is my humble experience, mm-hmm. they want people that are going to stay positive, roll their sleeves up, get out there and represent them and work hard for them. They don't want to hear negative things.
Right.
They don't want to hear it. There's enough negative in our lives. There's enough negative in politics. Enough with it.
Right.
Enough. So this contrast, it's a vibration, and people are paying attention to it. I hope it doesn't last too long, too, and he has a right to run as long as he wants to. I get it. But I think it's showing the difference, the separation between the two leadership styles, and that's important.
Yeah. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good, good. How
hey,
are you,
guys? I enjoy this every Friday. I really do.
Thank you.
Lenny, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
And Tom, you're doing a great job. Phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Nice to see that.
I don't trust the Suffolk University poll. It all depends on the quality of the polling, the sample size. If we're going to go, the top quality in sample size in polling is the Quinnipiac poll. That's what I want to see.
Are they polling Suffolk, Massachusetts?
Suffolk. Yeah. They take polls before. I don't trust anything that comes out of Suffolk County and Suffolk University.
Okay.
But I want to talk, too, about, you know, this whole fiasco with cities and towns. We're not getting a fair share of aid. And, you know, all the $5 billion, the illegal aliens, utility assistance, daycare, rental assistance, SNAP. welfare benefits, Medicaid. They're going at the public schools, and now and they're going to go to community college. We came out with the emergency shelter program, you know, get them from Logan Airport into the hotels, Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub, and then the state police. We're taxiing them around and bringing them pizzas and all that to their hotels. And the chauffeur services, you know, because they need to go to the doctors to get to go for treatment. And this bill by Brian Murphy, Bill S-117, with all the supermajority Democrats, including our own delegation, more direct cash to illegal aliens,
more
SNAP benefits. It's not enough. They need more. There's no limits. You don't even have to live in the state of Massachusetts. There's no residency requirement. You can be living in California, and they can send you the before you get there. You got a place to live. You got SNAP. You got a cash card. Hey, it's fantastic.
It almost makes you want to leave, come back as an illegal alien.
Oh, right, yeah. And you can't forget one thing, Carla. You raised a lot of good points, but you can't forget the one about them, Mara Healey, kicking the kids out of the community center so they could be put on street corners to get exposed to the drug dealers, so
right,
they could use it for housing for illegal aliens. So, and in addition to which, the money. I still haven't seen the report of how much it's cost to buy out the contracts of these places, like in Taunton and other places, where they were giving housing for these illegal aliens in huge numbers. What's the number for that? What's the cost,
right,
for the buyout of those contracts that they ended when Mara Healey started to feel the pressure?
We're talking about the poll. We're talking about the election. We're going to go right back to the phones. We have Tom Hodgson and Lenny Millers Jr. here. Oh, man, I was just about to put Carlos through. Carlos, please call back.
I like hearing Dalton.
I know. That's obviously that me. Here, by the way, was it Mark Ferland? Mark Ferland dropped off donuts for us here on National Donut Day. We do appreciate it. These guys probably won't partake in donuts from Mark Ferland, but I certainly will.
There's only two left after 2 dozen. You've been going at it, Chris, while we're talking.
508-996-0500. More about the poll and what's going on and your questions. Some people are on hold. Stay there. If you want to get through, it's 508-996-0500. A fun time here on a Friday morning. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBS.
Back to the program. Don't you think this outlaw thing's done, got out of hand? My next call, that could be his theme song, although, because he's certainly changed his ways. Good morning, Carlos. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hi, Carlos.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see a debate between Mike Minogue and Choice League. I would really enjoy that, so I could gauge and understand the differences. Just remaining positive to me isn't enough. I like when someone is passionate, fights what they believe in, especially when you're going against someone who refuses to debate you. You have to stand out and push what you believe forward. And I think Mike Minogue's doing a disservice and damage to his campaign by not, recognizing the debate with Short Sleeve.
It's a good question, Sheriff.
Yeah, I understand the caller's sentiment. I think that Mike Minogue made very clear from the very beginning he didn't know whether it was Keneally, Short Sleeve, or any of them. He'd been on stage with them at a number of different events,
right,
where they had opportunities to speak to the public and whatever. Never once did any one of either of the other two candidates, you know, go after Mike Minogue, criticize him over everything till after they were off the stage, mm-hmm, as Mike Minogue has described it. And then they all of a sudden start attacking him. And his position is, and I understand the caller's point, that I can either spend my time going out into these communities all over the Commonwealth and talking to people directly, which you can see on Instagram. You see it. He's on TV ads all the time, mm-hmm, and talk about the real issues and understand where they're coming from, because in the end they're the ones I'm representing. Or I can go on the stage and sit there and go do a back and forth in a short period of time that's going to be seen by a small percentage of people, probably, depending what region of the Commonwealth it's in or what have you, or who's available to listen to it. You know, is it on Howie's show? If it's on Howie's show, or how many people are working, what percentage are going to be able to do it? So his I think, I'm not speaking for him, but my sense is, since he said that from the very beginning, that his personal choice for his campaign was to follow that discipline and do what he's doing, which it seems right at this point to be effective and working.
Yeah,
but I understand the caller's point.
No, Lenny.
Yeah, no, the caller makes a very good point. I understand that. If he has a game plan, he's implementing it, obviously,
right.
And he does have one. He's going to follow through and execute it. I mean, that's what he's doing. He obviously feels and has studied this ahead of time that this is the most effective way to reach the most amount of people and elevate them to the all the way to victory in September, and he's going to do that. However, you know, all candidates can't do all things, so they have to make those decisions,
right.
And all of us have to, have to decide, you know, what we want, who we want in leadership. But that's why I said, it with Brian still in it now, you hear these things, and you do see a little bit of a contrast. But this caller, and I'm a fighter, I get it. I like to see you mix it up a little, but that's not how Mike wants to run his campaign.
My question is, does this leave, Tom, an opportunity for Governor Healey, who has had a disastrous performance, to say, hey, I'm not going to debate you. I'm the front runner. You didn't debate. When you were the front runner, your challengers, I'm not going to debate you. I'm following the Mike Minogue plan type of thing. And by the way, elections do not pivot on debates, okay?
Right.
Quite frankly, I like them. You like them. We're all political junkies. But we are not the average person. And debates don't really have an impact except hurt you if you screw up. But does it give Healey, the governor, clearly the front runner at this moment, to say, I'm not going to debate you, Mike Minogue, because you didn't debate Schultzley?
I don't know that works for her,
okay.
Given the fact that she's got a pretty abysmal record. And
right.
people want her to be able to defend that against the front-running candidate that's going to be coming up against her. It's a clear
right.
difference of philosophy between Mike Minogue and Mara Healey. So I don't believe that translates, in my opinion. I'm not
right.
saying I'm necessarily right, but I just don't think it will. Because people, right now you're seeing with Schultzley and Mike Minogue, mm-hmm. Schultzley's putting his message out there. Mm-hmm. He's on Instagram and other things. Mike Minogue's on there. And they're both, Schultzley has put things out that he believes is the thing to do. And Mike Minogue is taking his approach as to how he gets his message out. So people have a chance to look at both and see it actually probably maybe in more detail than they would on a debate.
Right.
Right. So that's going to bring us to a place where then I think the people of Massachusetts, because it's their number one position to run the government, they're going to want to probably hear both Healey's position as a Democrat and Minogue's as a Republican face to face. Because one of the things that I think is pique people's interest is Mara Healey's never really been immersed in detail of things. She's always about deflection and pushing
right.
things to a political filter. And she never gives you solid answers to things. And she hasn't really answered for why she's not having meetings regularly with her senior staff.
You saw the senior staff. You really wouldn't want to go to that meeting, Tom.
Yeah. but people will see a real difference between somebody who knows how to run a major corporation.
Right.
And somebody who's been a politician all their life that has really no sort of basic foundation of how to run the business of government, you know, as a business.
508-996-0500. My only thought is Mike Minogue's a first-time candidate. She certainly is not. As you point out, she's a political animal in the best sense of the world. She's run for attorney general. She's run for governor. Now she's going to come up for re-election. She's on the national stage all the time, whacking it out. And Mike Minogue, as a corporate exec, has never done any of this. Is it better if he gets in the ring, so to speak, with Schultzley now, when it almost doesn't count?
I, In my opinion, I don't think that matters. Okay. And I'll tell you why. I believe that people are fed up with the political part, and they're going to see a stark difference between somebody who's driven by politics and somebody who's driven by putting their solutions through the lens of the people they serve. Mm-hmm. And that's where Mike Minogue is. So you're going to get a stark, in my opinion, you're going to get a stark difference between the two.
Right.
Politician, as you mentioned, that people are fed up with. They've seen the results, what they get when you have somebody who's focused more on politics than they are on the people's issues. And I think it's going to be so black and white and clear to the people that Mike Minogue's a very different kind of person that's focused on the right things.
I get that. I totally do.
Yeah.
But when you get in the ring, it's an entirely different world, right?
Like in Iraq?
Well, that
I mean,
was...
He's been in a battle.
Well, yeah,
I get your point. You're talking verbally. I get it.
Yeah. In other words, he can't throw a hand grenade at the governor. I mean, in other words, when you get into combat, it gets confusing. Well, it gets confusing. I know. You have orders to eliminate the enemy, but with a bullet. But you can't do that.
No, this is
a verbal jousting. Yeah, no, I know. But I mean, I really think that. Well, anyway, Lenny, what do you think?
Well, I think it's good points either side, but I have to keep leaning toward the side that Mike has his own style, and it's not a political style to go in here and try to, you know, wazoo people with political, you know, traditions and become a governor. Right. He really wants to go in there and do the job and get it done and do what the people need to do. And he's talking about that with people, with real people, you know? And so he to sit down one-on-one and debate with people, you know, like Brian or whatever, he doesn't see the value in that. Though I know there's a certain amount of people who would like to see that.
Right.
But I agree with you. Debates, you know, how many think of the past, even the national debates, people would lose them and then they still won the election, things like that. So... Look, Mike is a different type of a leader. Mm-hmm. He's clearly said that.
Right.
He's clearly, his words and actions are matching. And that's how he's going to lead. And we have to decide, is that really the direction we want to go? And he's not going to change because politics wants him to.
Is it possible? Lenny, is it possible? Tom, is it possible? This just occurred to me.
Sure.
Which, like most of the show, really, be honest. let's be honest, I don't have notes. Is it possible that Mike Minogue could be elected governor without ever debating Healey?
Yeah, it is possible.
Right?
It is possible.
Just says, what's the point? She'll just lie and blame Trump and just moves to November.
So because there's a vibration out there, right? He's doing his thing, she's doing it, and we're doing it without interference.
Right?
Same thing with short sleeve right now. And it's going on, but people are observing and listening. With static in between and arguing back and forth and the debate process and stuff, I know that people like that. It's healthy to a certain degree, but isn't this better to watch what's going on? We're watching what's going on.
Right.
We got time to observe it and decide it and talk about it. And
And I think to Lenny's point too, I think there is this feeling. We've watched Congress for years, back and forth arguing, you know, sit-ins and sitting on the floor like petulant kids,
terrible,
and all this nonsense. People are really fed up. They're looking for people now in government who are really focused on what matters to them. And the back and forth fighting stuff is not cutting it, because it's distracts away from the ultimate solutions.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
You know, I can't. There's one thing about the president that I give him credit. There's no such thing as bad publicity. And right now, neither of those gentlemen have any publicity when it comes to the state. If you look at all the Boston news stations, there's nothing. It's total radio silence. And that's the way Healey likes it. So they have to think of a different strategy. Because this strategy, I know that Facebook, Instagram, but the majority of those people are keyboard warriors. Half of them won't probably even vote.
Thank you for the call. I got to take a break, but I think that gentleman I know does a great job, works at the hospital, works a lot of hours. He doesn't have the time to watch television the way I do. I see Mike Minogue ads constantly on television, constantly. Maybe I watch too much TV. We'll be back. Stick around. Let's go back. There's a lot of people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, caller.
Billy Fatiolis.
Hey, Gilly.
How you guys doing?
Good.
You know, Chris?
Yes.
Before, in the beginning of your program, you know, somebody said that they don't attack the
I'm not following
people.
You, Kelly.
Okay, no, in the beginning, there was a thing about, you know, like Shot Sleeve and Oliver.
Okay.
They have been attacking their own people. You follow me now?
They're going after Minogue.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And they, in the beginning, they said nobody does it. But don't you find that kind of weird that they're talking, they're taking shots at their own people? Their own politicians?
It's a good question.
Yeah, Gilly, Lenny Mills, how you doing, sir? Listen, in my humble opinion, politics is a blood sport.
Right.
Right? So they're blood sport fighters, and they're gonna do their thing. That's what it's all about. We know that when we sign up for it.
Right.
And, it makes it very interesting.
I mean, they've got to bring down Minogue for themselves to advance. I mean, that's the reality. It's a pretty closed primary. We kind of know in advance who's going to vote. There'll be some independents, there'll be a lot of Republicans, and so you know exactly who you're trying to talk to. Tom, what do you think about the Ronald Reagan commandment, "Thou shalt not attack my Republican, my fellow Republican"?
Well, I mean, I think you can make your arguments by talking about the issues and your differences,
mm-hmm.
without attacking the individuals. It's a matter of how you do it, how you articulate those things, and I think there's a way to show your differences. But look, this has more to do with the percentage difference at the convention, and
right.
You know, it was such a drastic. I mean, Mike Minogue overwhelmingly won that, and so I think that's really where the rub comes in.
It's getting interesting. It's certainly getting interesting, but it's also being over. Lenny Mills, thanks for coming in with us. Tom Hodgson, thanks for coming in. Guys, stick around. I hope you have a great weekend. Barry's coming up. After Barry will be, of course, the great Howie Carr. And God willing, I'll be back